I'm here talking to Rob Mitchelson from Loose Moose Theater. And we'll start with a basic question. How long have you actually been involved with Loose Moose Theater?
Coming up on 14 years.
14 years?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it seems like I should have been... like, if I'd been there that long, I'd be better than I am.
One of the things that... when I was trying to figure out good, interesting questions to ask people about how they got into performing, the one that kept coming up over and over again with people I was discussing the kind of questions I should come up with was there a person or a movie or a play or some kind of performance that influenced you in your decision to get into performing in the first place?
Oh, man. I mean, I guess initially, almost everything Jim Henson ever did was... he could do no wrong in my mind. So he was one of the few sort of genuine heroes to me. Well, maybe the only one, because you end up hearing brutal stories about everyone else. I used to hear that Gene Roddenberry smacked his wife around. I don't know if it's true. But so that left Jim Henson. But actually, the impetus to come up and be an improviser actually was from another volunteer at the time, Shannon Leahy, now Shannon Zenas, who, she just took me under her wing, and when I came to a high school theater sports competition and told me that I had to do it and made sure that I had a ride, and she was really cool about it, so that's what started me there.
Right. So, like, how old were you when you knew you might want to get into, like, just performing, period?
I guess probably it would have been, like, late in high school.
Right.
It wasn't always my dream to be a performer. I mean, I always thought about it, and
right.
I think a lot of kids kind of fantasize about being performers or about being actors or musicians or whatever.
So you weren't, well, like, always hanging out with the drama kids and...
I was, but I mean,
okay.
it was never, like, it never seemed to me to be, like a kind of career goal.
Right.
Or a kind of...
It was just an interesting class.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
You know, I always enjoyed it. I liked doing it. I liked... thinking that way. I liked being able to have that kind of creative influence and input, but and then it just kind of stuck for me. Hopefully that answers your question.
Yeah, it does. It does. I hope this doesn't catch you off guard, but whenever I see you perform, what I notice that sets you apart from most of the other performers on stage, at least at Loose Moose, if not anywhere else, is that you seem to have the most rich vocabulary of any performer I've ever come across. How did you learn to speak so well? Where did you get that vocabulary from?
I was a big reader as a kid.
Okay.
And I actually joke... So it's actually kind of a half joke. When I'm teaching classes to young improvisers, I say that a good improviser should know two things about everything. It is just a source of material, if nothing else.
Right.
So it gives them a place to, a basis to start from if they're going to do a scene in Ancient Rome. You know, they have a general idea of what might be going on. But I used to do a lot of reading. I like words. I like the language. And I, it's taken me a while as an improviser to get back to the point where I could be that on stage, because improvising really screws you up and makes you simpler and less complicated when you begin performing. And then there's a whole number of years where you struggle not to be too original or not to be too not to push too hard to be funny.
Right.
And then that's who you are begins to come through all of that training eventually anyway. So I think, because of me being a bit on the pedantic side, that's just kind of my style of performance.
Right.
It's how I'd like to be on stage. It's what makes me laugh. And so that's what's ended up coming out of me.
But I mean, like, do you have such a rich vocabulary in your normal day-to-day conversation with people? Or is this...
Yeah, I mean... I'm genuinely accused of being being kind of pedantic. Like, I'm sure there's people who think I'm showing off.
Right.
Who are just like, oh, really, Rob? Could you just maybe not, you know, just...
Mr. Reader's Digest.
Yeah, you know, just the, you know, maybe just use the normal words. And I'm actually a bit... I'm trying to be kind of sensitive to it so I don't annoy people. Because it can be annoying when you're around somebody who... seems to be unnecessarily using the language. I happen to really enjoy it, but I wouldn't want to piss anybody off.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Yeah, everyone knows one of those people at least.
So. Aside from the regular improv performances that people may or may not know are scheduled at Loose Moose mm-hmm. on a regular basis, you know, the theater sports and the Maestro Impro on Friday, and then, of course, Gorilla on Saturday, there are some special shows that are put on as well. The one that you're involved with, Friday Night Late. How did that get started?
It hadn't been Loose Moose's first attempt at a talk show format show. Mm-hmm. We had one a few years ago at the Gary Theater that was hosted by Eric Amber and Derek Flores called Hot Nuts and Popcorn. And it was a great show, really successful, and it seemed like it was an experiment worth trying again. Mm-hmm. And AJ Demers, my co-host and writing partner, was really keen on getting something up and running and giving it a whirl. And so we did. On his kind of impetus, we began to host this show called Friday Night Late. Mm-hmm. The first couple of years, the first Friday of every month.
Right.
And experimentally this year, weekly. And it's been pretty good. I mean, response has been pretty positive. Not wild, but positive. Mm-hmm. It sort of fascinates me. It's not always funny, but sometimes when it's not funny, it's still just interesting. Mm-hmm. Like, we still get to meet people, and there's still kind of a kind of documentary aspect to it
right.
that makes it less less boring than it would be if you were just hearing people talk. Like,
right.
you actually do get to find out something interesting about people that you don't really know.
Right.
And about projects they're involved with or the work that they do. I remember at one point we had Ken Gardner on as a guest host, and he was playing this contractor named Jürgen Half-Asset. Not everybody gets that that's supposed to be a joke. But anyway, Jürgen Half-Asset was on, and he was teaching people how to repair a hole in drywall. Legitimately. But about halfway through his explanation of how to repair a hole in drywall, like a small hole, like let's say you punched it in there or whatever, the audience started to get pretty quiet, and I thought to myself, geez, this is kind of death. I thought maybe they weren't enjoying themselves or something, but this all seems kind of compelling to me as far as theater goes. And it turns out that they were quiet because everyone really wanted to know how to repair a hole in drywall. And they're like, oh, you need shims. I have to screw in some shims, honey. And they're like taking mental notes on how to...
Right.
Yeah.
How receptive was Dennis to the idea of Friday Night Late when it was first thought up?
He was good about it. He's very good about when performers that have been around for a while pitch him a show. Mm-hmm. If he feels like there's an opportunity to build a regular audience for it,
right.
then he's usually interested in doing it. Mm-hmm. And if he feels like it's a really exciting one-off project,
right.
he can be. Convinced of that as well.
I'm guessing the success of the prior attempt at the Gary Theater didn't hurt?
No, it didn't hurt at all. I mean, they'd had a successful talk show, mm-hmm. and so it seemed like it was something worth us trying.
Again. Yeah, for sure. Speaking of the history of Loose Moose, I've been really interested in some of the beginnings of how things got started, and I was thinking about the names of some of the shows that are put on at the theater,
mm-hmm.
and I got thinking about Gorilla Theater, and it never dawned on me, and then I happened to be watching a rerun of the movie Easy Rider, and I saw Gorilla Theater, and
yeah.
I thought, is that where you guys got the name?
Yeah, that would be my presumption. Gorilla Theater replaced a format called the All-Star format.
Oh, yeah.
Where it was some improvisers looking for an opportunity to work together in a kind of competitive format, but less
not
sort of structured than theater sports.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Something to give them a chance to work it out together, to be cooperative, to end up being essentially on the same team throughout the course of the night and give the audience still a variety of scenes. And so the Gorilla format developed out of that. At first it was called All-Star, and then it was called Gorilla Theater.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not the only punny name that we've got. I mean, Maestro Impro as well is
mm-hmm.
spelled M-I-C-E in order to imply, I assume, our smallness in the grand scheme of the importance of the show. Which I think a lot of improvisers also don't get. They're like, why do they call it Maestro? I don't get it. It's just, why mice? But I'm just like, because you're mice! Run through the maze, mice.
Nice. Now, this may be a hard question to answer only because of the length of time you've been involved with Loose Moose. But thinking back, if I was to ask you what's one of the biggest highlights for you in your history with the company, what's the first thing that comes to mind?
Oh, man. I mean, there have been lots of good moments over the years. One of the things that's really cool about improvising is that sometimes you feel that kind of lightness and inspired nature that people talk about when they're meditating, or people talk about when they're really, well, or when, like, you know, like musicians talk about when they're totally blissed out playing guitar or whatever it is that they do.
I know what you mean.
And that, on occasion, I find myself in that state where it's just somebody says the right thing and everything kind of falls into place and everyone is on the same page as you and the audience is also with you in that same moment, and that can be really nice. I've really enjoyed working on A Christmas Carol over the years. That show is, I think, really has gotten quite sharp and quite funny. Verging on too funny, which is a positive thing. Like, if a show gets too funny, sometimes you detach the audience from caring about the characters, so you really need to walk that line. But it's a very, very funny show.
It is.
So that's probably been one of the big highlights. And then it would just be moments scattered here or there. There was a scene, I don't know, maybe about a year ago, where I ended up playing Gandalf, and there were two improvisers on stage playing Hobbits as their regular size selves. So I showed up in the window, the stage flat window, standing on two chairs so that I would appear to be taller when I came in. And then I walked out on stage with the chairs under my feet and had the stenographers put the chairs underneath me as I walked around so that I could be taller than them. And I think there's something about the conceit of me being taller than them, but it also being an attempt at a special effect at being taller than them.
Right.
And then knowing what they knew of some of the simplicity of the special effects in Lord of the Rings, and then I was giving some kind of Gandalf rant, which was pretty ridiculous. And it was one of those moments that just sort of, in its weirdness, like, the audience was with us for every part of the joke. They were with me for the verbally funny, witty stuff. They were with me for the slightly blundered but still very funny special effect. They were with me for just the visual impact of the effect, but also the attempt at the effect being a sort of meta joke within the effect. There were like four or five things going on there that just felt really nice. Like, the audience was all keeping pace with what we were trying to attempt.
One of my fondest memories of you, and not just you because it was a team effort, was your participation in the K-Team during Theater Sports, the latest round of Theater Sports. So I thought that was phenomenally funny. The fact that you guys were doing this Mexican gibberish, you know, off stage, and then, you know, as soon as you'd get on stage, you'd, you know, get into whatever persona or character that you needed to get into to do the scene, and then as soon as it was over, boom, back into the Mexican persona as a team. That was really genius.
It was fun. It was fun to have there's been a few theme teams throughout the year.
Yeah.
And it's always a risk, because if you get trapped, caught up in the theme, it sometimes doesn't give you any place to go. Like, we don't always want to be doing Spanish, Latin, Mexican scenes, but on occasion they're funny. And it gives you something to do off stage. It's a little distracting.
Oh, exactly. Yeah. No, I thought it was brilliant.
Yeah. So I love doing that as well. That was a blast. It's nice working with those boys too. It was Dave Ware and AJ Demers and Ken Gardner.
Yeah.
Good group.
Yeah, for sure. For the benefit of people thinking about giving improvisation a try, but they just don't know where to start, what advice would you offer?
Well, Loose Moose is a volunteer-based theater company, and so if somebody's interested in trying improvisation, there are two routes you can go. Is you could take a class occasionally, maybe like three times a year. Loose Moose offers adult-oriented classes that give you the basic introductory skills of improvisation. If it's something you want to try or want to pursue, you can do that. But the beauty of Loose Moose being a volunteer-based company is that you can also take the company classes for free once you're a volunteer. And so many improvisation companies elsewhere in the world have a paid structure, and you have to kind of graduate from class to class in order to continue to have the opportunity to perform, or somebody has to see you in the 300-level class in order to get you to the 400-level class, and then it's another $620 or whatever to move on. And
yeah,
I think this fosters kind of a really interesting environment and a fairly safe environment. One thing I would say is that if anybody wants to get started, it's a good idea to come down with a friend, because like any tight-knit group, the theater company can be fairly cliquey, and it's a good idea to have people to associate with or to kind of partner up with to begin with until you have a chance to meet people and fit into that social structure.
I can certainly identify with that.
It wouldn't surprise me at all. And did you start off
I started off as a volunteer, and I attended a few classes here and there when I had time, and then I attended one of those courses that you mentioned.
Right.
So my peer group is what kind of helped me, you know, move a little bit forward anyway with regards to the performing, but you're absolutely right. I mean, you're going to feel much more comfortable joining the company or, you know, learning the ropes until you get a comfort level with the group that's been established there for a long time.
For sure.
Because, yeah, if you go there on your own, you're just going to be overwhelmed with the fact that everybody seems to know everybody and hug everybody and get along with everybody, and you're just there going, please talk to me here.
No, it can be a really weird... Yeah. I know it can be a really weird environment, and I actually had somebody babysit me through that process when I started out of the theater, so I owe Shannon for that. And anybody who wants to get involved, bring a friend, take some classes, see if you like it, and... It's cheap to continue doing if you like it.
Yeah, for sure.
Which is great.
Awesome. Great. And finally, as an personal indulgence of mine, these final 10 questions come from a French series, Bouillon de Culture, hosted by Bernard Pivot. It's probably more familiar to many as the questions James Lipton asks his guests at the end of Inside the Actor's Studio on Bravo. So if you don't mind, I'd like to know...
Always wanted to be asked.
What is your favorite word?
I'm gonna hesitate a long time. They probably edit these out on Bravo. Careworn.
Okay. What is your least favorite word?
Cheater.
What turns you on creatively, spiritually, or emotionally?
Somebody making it seem as though the audience that they're putting me in danger, but doing it in order to entertain me, in order to turn me on.
What turns you off?
People who are desperately trying to be funny.
What is your favorite curse word?
Cocksucker.
What sound or noise do you love?
A steam whistle.
What sound or noise do you hate?
The sound of styrofoam rubbing against other styrofoam.
What profession other than your own would you like to attempt?
I've been a teacher, so that's an easy one out. A graphic designer.
Okay. What profession would you not like to do?
Politician.
And last but not least, if heaven exists, what would you like to hear God say when you arrive at the pearly gates?
It's okay for you to come in.
Right on. Okay, thanks a lot.
Thanks, Carl.
That's great.